This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
The World Economic Forum's Future of Jobs survey for 2020 reported that 55% of companies surveyed identified skills gaps in the local labor market as the main barrier to the adoption of new technologies. So after decades of conversations around improving diversity and inclusion in the tech sector in the US and globally, many organizations have come to the conclusion that old practices and standards of hiring are holding the industry back from reaching its true potential. And we speak about the 4IR, and some people giggle because they don't think that South Africa would be able to even realize a future there. But as it does kick in many parts of the world, it really will. You know, we will see many, many companies speeding up their digitization strategies due to the global pandemic as well, but also just the way in which the world is going. So in this week's edition of the Power Boardroom, we talk about reframing the world of work in the context of tech as well as the digital divide. I am joined by Makolile Mapinya, who's the executive director and co-founder of DVR, as well as Loiso Boyce, who joins us on the line, managing director of Claro 4, which is a cybersecurity company. Good evening to Makolile, who is in studio, and Loiso, who is online. Hi, Makolile.
Hi, good evening. Good evening, Nothando, and good evening to your listeners.
Loiso, hi, how are you?
Good evening to you. Good evening to my fellow guests and the listeners, of course.
So before we move forward, maybe it's best to find out what you both do in the space so that we're able to then, you know, contextualize the conversation and moving forward. Bakulile, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so I lead a company called Devier. We call ourselves a digital transformation company. Essentially, what that means is we're deeply concerned about helping companies in the African continent build capability and capacity for digital transformation. And the reason why this is important is we firmly believe that there's an opportunity for the African continent to take its rightful place in this emerging digital global economy. And part of the key pillars of doing that is to be deeply concerned about skills and talent and how that plays out within our economy.
Loiso, would you like to tell us about your work?
Yes, founder, managing director of Claro 4, an information security company. 4IR, with a lot of businesses digitizing, with lots of providers helping companies digitize, get more established, more online. Inherently, it comes with a risk of information security. So once businesses have decided that they want to participate in the online space, we come in and make sure that in how they do things, in terms of technology, their people and their processes, everything is designed and people are trained to be more information security aware or cyber security aware.
So now let's move on to speaking about, you know, the current state of work and employment in South Africa and maybe even the untapped potential and opportunities in the tech and digital sectors within South Africa that could possibly solve specifically the youth unemployment crisis. Makolile, would you like to weigh in on this?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is quite an important aspect of the work that we do. First and foremost, we are convinced there is no economic success for South Africa without young people. Whilst we have this massive issue of youth unemployment in particular, we see it as an opportunity. Talent exists everywhere. The work that we do, we make it a point to ensure that we are able to find and engage talent, particularly in underserved communities, and bring those opportunities to where they are. We don't necessarily have to have these opportunities only in Johannesburg and Cape Town and Durban. Mm-hmm. So the work that we do is to really try and go wide and as far as possible to bring in young people into these opportunities. I think the other aspect that I really want to, you know, sort of mention here is that, you know, whilst it's important for us to talk about emerging technologies and skills and skilling young people, we also have to be deeply conscious of the fact that it's not only these technical skills that we need to be concerned about. Ultimately, we want young people to be productive and to be productive in companies and in the economy. We also need to concern ourselves with what we at Devier called core skills. And what those are, you know, sometimes referred to as soft skills. curiosity, creativity, dealing with paradox. And these are skills that can be taught and ought to be integrated into skills development initiatives that companies run like we do. But there's another aspect to this as well. Let's face it, if you look at the context of South Africa, there's more people out there that are just not engaged in the digital economy. So what we call access skills, which is the basic skills of creating awareness so that people can participate, so that, for example, elderly people and unemployed people can engage with government services using technology and be able to do banking using technology and be able to buy electricity using technology. Those things are really fundamentally important to create this functional and productive digital economy. So that's really the sort of work that that we do. But I think also the key issue is the problem of youth unemployment seems to be moving faster than our combined ability to create solutions. So by design, we have to find mechanisms to be able to provide these opportunities of skilling young people at scale. It's not good enough to talk about programs of training 30 people. Whilst that may be good and there may be knock-on and network effects that come from it, the truth of the matter is there's an urgent crisis that we've got to solve. We need to be talking about thousands of people and finding mechanisms to engage people not only in skills development, but moving further and in integrating them into the economy, both locally, but more importantly, globally. Because let's face it, that's where the opportunity lies. There's only so many jobs that local companies today in South Africa can create. The big opportunity is global. So it's a strange thing that we've got to figure out. A lot of work that needs to be done using technology, but seemingly at the moment, not enough jobs. We've got to be able to reconfigure that. So that's my view.
Oh, wonderful. Loyiso, would you like to weigh in here? I know that you specialize in cybersecurity. I'm wondering if you share some of Bakolile's sentiments, but also with cybersecurity, the issue of youth unemployment. Is this a place where we can bring some youth online and soon and quickly?
Yes, I am in step with most of what he has said. The one thing that I would have liked to stress, which he did touch on towards the end, is the issue of training is just one part of the issue. We need to find a way of absorbing these trained people so that they're employed and then they're able to be productive tax-paying members of the country. So it's a couple of things, right? In my space specifically, cybersecurity, we hire on attitude. So he touched on soft skills / core skills. We hire on attitude. I've just hired a lady now. I'm addressing the issue of youth unemployment as well. Just hired a lady now, late 30s. Her background is in marketing. But with the new economy, post-COVID, lots of jobs have gone defunct. 4IR is automating a lot of things. Then you look at things like ChatGPT, making copywriters redundant. It's just crazy what is happening. So her, being a breadwinner at home, realized that she needs to secure her career. So for the past year, she reached out to us, said, "Dude, I don't have any experience. What can we do?" Then I sent her on training. I said, "Do this specific certification training." So us being a information security company, we are doing work across South Africa, Africa, and the Middle East, right? So there are things that we can do sitting in the office or working from home, speaking to the issue of globalization of services. There are things that we can do while people are sitting at home. So in her particular instance, I based on the customers that we have and the work that we're delivering, I asked her to go do specific certification. It was around firewall certification. She showed great acumen, great potential. She's now in certifying on another tool. So in our space, we use tools, right? So I know that back in the day, it was a question of go and do a degree, go do your honors, go do your masters, and then go apply. It doesn't work in my space, it doesn't work. If you are going to go do a degree, by the time you are finished after 12 months, most of the stuff that you learned in the beginning is almost redundant. It's useless to us. It's dated. So what we are finding works. If you have the right attitude, then you are able to learn. You are able to push yourself to do constant certification. So it's either you go and you do a degree or a master's and you kind of sort it, or you have to do continuous training. So either way, the training must be done. So she came in, did some training. Now she's got proper experience. She's got labs, environments, easier environments that she's working on. And that's how we're doing it. So we consider ourselves like Jomo Sono, like Jomo. I consider myself like Jomo Sono.
Go on.
We go and we train people. I mean, we have to go find the talent, right? It's difficult to find ready talent in an emerging space. So unfortunately, we have to go and train these people. So we go townships, wherever, we train them. As soon as they are trained up, the big boys will come and they will poach the people. I don't know how many of the banks have poached a number of my people, but it's great because they can pay them far more than I'm able to pay them, and then I train the next batch. Yes, it's a headache, but I think in terms of addressing the challenges of the country, which is, can we do work in the country by training new people? Can we do work from South Africa and bill in dollars and euros so we can start getting some money in the country and improve our tech situation? They're the people with the right attitude, who understand how to talk to customers. In our space in cybersecurity, many of the times, by the time we're talking to customers, something has gone wrong. So your emotional intelligence must be up there. You are dealing with a client that has been hacked. We saw in the news now, Justice Department lost 18 million. You have a CFO that's going to be calling you saying, hey, my money is going. They are panicked. They are angry. So you need all these soft skills plus technical ability to be able to service these customers.
Got you. You know, you mentioned the issue of attitude, and I'd like Bakolile for you to come in here, because you also spoke about, you know, a core skills here, which are soft, but they're actually not. And I'm wondering about this, the issue of attitude, and how that might play a role in us reframing digital skills. For a lot of us at home, when we think of technology, we think of that thing that is going to take our job. It means that I studied a certain qualification. I went to university, as Loiso says. I have this certificate. I want to work in that job. And so the prospects of maybe not working in that sector and having to, rethink my whole career to now adapt to a tech job, which is readily available for me, that said that I might have to work from home, for instance. You know, is this the kind of, not soft either, but the kind of things that we need to work through, the thinking with the young people, that just because you studied communications, it doesn't mean that you're going to land up at a communications firm, the way the job sector is set up right now?
Yeah, no, Thando, I think, fortunately, and we've seen this in the work that we do, young people are so adaptable. And more often than not, we find that the attitude, regardless of one's background, is a lot more open and accepting of technology. There seems to be this understanding that technology is part of just about everything that we need to do. So we never battle with that. I think what is really important is to leverage that positive attitude of young people and build on it in a very practical way, so that you can demonstrate what it will take for them to be integrated into a digital economy. I think where we've sort of battled in the work that we do is actually people who perhaps have been in a career for 10, 15 years, who've become accustomed to a certain way of doing things and see this, new wave caused by technology almost as an irritation and a stumbling block. So there's a lot of education that we have to do there. And this is why I mentioned access skills. Access skills is not skills for just people who don't have the knowledge or the education. It's also for people in leadership positions. In fact, I would argue that access skills in creating awareness of the power of technology and how we can leverage this in businesses is something that boards and executives should actually take up a lot more, consciously. So in answering your question, yes, you know, attitude is incredibly important. And part of the work that we do in finding young people is actually we do assessments. Mm. So the work that we do is based on digital platforms because we believe in scale, and we've engineered everything that we do to reach as many people as possible all at once. And part of that is not just merely saying, come and join a program because you have a degree from a well-known university. Mm. It doesn't matter to us. We assess people on aptitude and behavioral skills so that that attitude is something that is understood up front, and we can then work with these young people to help them build and integrate them into the digital economy. So it is very important, but we have to find a scientific way of bringing it out so that we are able to replicate and scale it.
19:27 on Power Business this evening in our Power Boardroom. We are having a conversation about reframing the world of work in the context of tech and the digital divide. I am joined by Bakolile Mapinya, who's the Executive Director and Co-Founder at Divier, as well as Luiso Boyce, Managing Director at Clarifor, and their Clarifor rather, sound cybersecurity company, speaking to us on their context in this regard, but also really helping us understand you know, how this sector can contribute to our issues with regards to unemployment, maybe even a youth unemployment. Now, before the break, I had asked that when we come back, we just take some time speaking about what can we do immediately, you know, what skills are in demand and what skills can we quickly fill here. Luiso, we'll start with you, then we'll probably have to go do headlines, and then we'll come back and do Bakolile.
Sure. I mean, there's a number of skills that people can go into. So if somebody is sitting at home saying, you know what, I'm interested in a technology career, let me see what I can get into. So, I mean, once again, using practical experience, what we've done in the business, we have an incentive structure for our technical people. So with each certification that they acquire, they get a bit of a bump in terms of an increase, and then we give some labs for them. What type of stuff have they been training on? I mentioned tools. So the thing with tools, tools are great because the training thereof does not have to take that long. But then the challenge with tools is you need to pick a tool that is generally well accepted in the industry. So any training or certification with stuff like Cisco will probably serve you well. Mm. There are OEMs, original equipment manufacturers, who make things like, I'll talk about equipment in MySpace cybersecurity, guys like HP, so go do some HP training. Fortinet does firewalls and routers, stuff in the network, goes through things like that. There are more generalist certifications that are always great in our space. There's something called S Plus. Mm-hmm. Some people will know of A Plus, which is if you want to fix computers, the hardware part, you would do A Plus. If you want to do networks, set up networks, put in those cables, configure, you do N Plus. Once you have that knowledge and you want to go into security, you would do S Plus. As an example, just sent one of my people on training now. I think it was $3,500 for the training. So it's not a lot of money. It's not easy, but it's not a lot of money. And they got through the training in a month. Could be because they have some experience as well in the company. But already with that, he set himself up a little bit better in terms of knowledge. Another one, a really good one, I mean, very recently, we started hearing about AI in a very big way. And then things like ChatGPT became a main topic in the mainstream. There's a job now called AI prompt engineer. I mean, this is a few months old. You can pull anything from $250,000 to $300,000 per annum.
Sure.
This is not something that exists. So if you want to be a prompt engineer, you go online, you find those courses online, you go to training institutions. There isn't a varsity that you can go to right now that has come up with a curriculum. In fact, by the time they come up with a curriculum for something like this, the ecosystem would have moved forward. So there are some examples. There are things like certified ethical hacking that people can get into as well. Not expensive. Takes a couple of months to get that done. Then you find a company like myself who's willing to give you some experience. And then you are well on your way to a very well-paying career.
19:35 on Power Business. If you'd like to weigh in our Power Boardroom conversation this evening, lines are open on 061-987-000. We're speaking about reframing tech and digital skills for all of us, really. You know, a lot of the time the conversation is around these industries are going to take jobs. And of course, part of that is very, very true. But there are also other opportunities. Before the break, Loiso spoke to us about being an AI prompt engineer. It's a whole new job. It's not even a year old that the role has existed. But you can make money in dollars from it, and all of it would even take online courses because there's no university that offers that at this point, which means that, you know, sometimes you just have to kind of be awakened to the opportunities around you. And we hope that this conversation can do that. But I'd like to bring you on here and, you know, to speak to us from your perspective. These low hanging fruits, where do they sit?
Yeah, thanks, Noltando. I think there's, you know, the framing of this for me is important because of pervasiveness of technology, meaning that we are not talking about IT here. There's a difference.
Yes, right? Yes.
What we're talking about is, you know, digital skills that apply also outside of IT. They apply in HR, they apply in marketing, they apply in operations, they apply in just about, you know, every single function that you can find within a company. And I think that for me is the framing, because I don't want to scare people into thinking that, you know, should they wish to pivot their careers, that this is something that's going to be so drastic and now they're going to be swallowed up into IT. So let's talk about some of these popular, you know, courses that we see and learning paths, because I also think that's important. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no one course that sort of sets you up for life. Loiso spoke about cybersecurity, and I think we've delved enough into that, you know, aspect. And all the courses that he spoke about of certified ethical hacker are things that we see. We've got a lot of companies that ask us to help them build, digital academies for cybersecurity. But let me touch on the other ones. Data is important because data is everywhere. And companies now across sectors want to leverage this to create new value, new insights, new products, new services. So being in data analytics, data engineering and data science is something that is really quite popular. The other one, of course, is software development, because the power of being able to use software and code something that is of value that can be consumed by, you know, others out there is something that's incredibly important. So we see that a lot. And then, of course, in terms of how, you know, all of this data is handled within companies, cloud computing is also quite important. Yes, there are OEMs, as Loiso has mentioned, that are incredibly influential, but also there's an emergence of, you know, other technology, you know, that people can also learn. So artificial intelligence is also another one. But let me also mention very quickly that there are things that resonate with creatives. So, for example, digital marketing is quite a popular, you know, learning path that we see. That's actually quite in demand. So there is a space for creatives to also participate in this digital space. The way that we do this is short courses, individual courses or learning paths that take longer. There are learnerships and qualifications that we are able to offer in these areas as well. So there's a lot of opportunity to really customize your own learning path depending on the kind of outcomes that you want to work towards.
We do have Paul from Kailami who would like to weigh in on this conversation. Paul, good evening. Thank you for your call. Please do go ahead.
I know you turned on guest. I hope you as well. I think my question is with regards, so I'm coming on a different angle. My question is with regards to investing in this particular field, right, in the digital economy field. So is it possible for individuals to essentially, I don't know, start companies, right, and have perhaps maybe ESG funding from entities to provide these types of skills, so that obviously you are more able to attract international clients, and also for OEM training.
Wonderful. We'll start with Bakulile in studio to respond to that, Paul.
Yeah, thank you very much, Paul, for your question. The short answer is, you know, absolutely, it is possible. And let me just mention a couple of things. We're working with a client, you know, in Bethlehem, where We are working with a group of young people at a community, and over a period of 2 years, what we are doing is we are skilling them up and helping them to start a company. It's going to be in the tourism space, and it's going to target, you know, the building of a tourism platform that can integrate services that are of tourism in nature within the community to sell to the local and also international market. So it is possible to do this. Mm-hmm. I think the second aspect that I want to mention, the work that we do clearly indicates that there is massive demand and interest from the international market in this sector, in particular in South Africa. Mm. We get a lot of requests from the UK, for example, of companies that are willing to not only put in money, but leverage the skills, should they be available at scale, from the South African market. So there are definite opportunities in this space. And of course, lastly, I mean, if you look at the kind of monies that are being invested with all various funds in the tech space, it speaks for itself. Whether you are talking at an infrastructure level, or you are talking AI, or you are talking fintech, there seems to be this growing trend across the African continent that creates a lot of opportunities. The crux of the matter for me is that if we don't build the skills, we can't take advantage of these investment opportunities. Mm-hmm. That's really the long and short of it.
Absolutely. Hear you there, Bagwanele Lusa. Would you like to weigh in on Paul's question?
I think it's been covered quite nicely. Just my two cents is, I mean, once again, yes, it's possible. We are seeing it. We did it. But we're also seeing many other companies in different sectors that are leveraging ICT to render their services. So whether it's entertainment, health, engineering, finance companies, everybody's moving online. And the skills that I was talking about is exactly what everybody needs to have in their arsenal.
Oh, wonderful there. You know, we're nearly ending the end of our conversation this evening, although maybe the time, the conversation I think we could have for hours to come. I'm keen to find out from you both, you know, how do we, what can we do today, you know, from even from a policy perspective, how government could get involved, how the private sector could get involved, but most importantly, how individuals sitting in their homes can get involved, you know, not relegating this responsibility to other people, because sometimes it becomes very obvious that nobody's coming to save us. We're going to have to sort ourselves out in terms of being able to upskill, reskill, and make sure that we can take, you know, our place in the economy. Aloysio, we'll start with you online.
Yeah, but the list is fantastic. I mean, he's covered most of the items that need to be addressed. And you said it, no one's coming to save us. We are 100% on our own in this regard. Before I defer to him, just want to highlight once again, the opportunities are there. People just need to think outside the box in terms of how do they upskill and capacitate themselves. We are well positioned. It's been doom and gloom. The rand has weakened. But the opportunity of a weakened rand is that we can export our services globally. He touches a great point where companies in the UK and other regions are looking to invest, but also utilize our skills. South Africa is a developed economy. If you build a company that's able to service the blue chips that we have in South Africa, you service them well, you can definitely render those services at an international level. And that's what I want all of us to look at. So let's do the skills. It gives us global relevance, global reach, and let's start invoicing in currencies beyond just the rand.
Wonderful. Bagwanele, would you like to weigh in here?
Yeah, Nortando, very quickly, there are five key things in my view. The first two, we should all agree that they are a given. One is let's agree that there's no economic success in the new digital economy without including young people. Number two, let's all agree that technology is pervasive and it's here to stay. We can't deny it. We can't hide from it. Then the next three are the following. One, skills development and how we invest in it should not be separate from the creation of business value. 15 years ago, it was okay for a big company to say, I will do a CSI project, I will give a grant of a few million rands, but I actually don't care what is being done, just do something. We can't do that now. What we have to do is to bring those two things together. To say, whilst I invest in skills development because I might have to by law, can I ensure that what I'm spending the money on is something that can be useful either to me or the sector or the economy? So be curious about what value this is going to create. Then the second thing is that the way that we do this should be in an integrated manner. I spoke about access, core, and growth skills. We should integrate those and be deliberate about ensuring that programs that are available either for unemployed youth or even those that need to be reskilled that are currently in employment, that we take this integrated approach. And then last but not least is that we need to explore quite deliberately new and emerging talent integration models. And here's what I mean by this. We are about to launch at Devia something called Interns on Demand in the digital space. What we are finding with some of our big clients is they recognize that, you know, you can't now operate based on fixed functional areas of a business. We have to embrace project-based work, gig work, and we have to provide opportunities in a fluid way to integrate those that may sit outside of our company but may have the skills. So let's explore those. Let's also extend that exploration to say, how do we become deliberate, particularly for big multinational companies, to establish centers of excellence that are digital of nature that can service the international market. For example, if you take companies like an MTN that has operations across many countries on the African continent, who at MTN is going to do the artificial intelligence or the data analytics? Surely we should be saying that can be done from here in South Africa, right? And you can extend this to many other companies across various sectors. So it is those five things for me that I believe are within reach, that we've got to figure out this framework, but execute, you know, quite well and at scale for us to be able to move the dial.
I'd like to thank you both for your time and really your invaluable insights. And I really hope that, you know, anybody who's missed this conversation or maybe only caught it halfway will go and engage the podcast, because I think just real practical skills and what I'd said that, you know, the ability to help yourself in this environment. And I think what you've also both done is given us, you know, words, the language to use for the skills and the places we can go to really help ourselves. I'd like to thank you both for your time this evening. That is Makolile Mabinya, Executive Director and Co-Founder at DVA, and Luiso Boyce, Managing Director at Aclaro 4, which is a cybersecurity company, speaking to us about skills in the tech and digital sectors.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.